Thank you, Sister Leah. Whole world's going to see that one day, who he is. Amen. I was saying to the teachers, I've been in teachers' meeting a while ago, the first Christmas, everybody knows the story how the King Herod tried to kill all the babies 2 years old and down. The same fear that Herod had, he knew he was a usurper on the throne and that Jesus was the rightful one to be on the throne. That's what the world's still scared of. You don't know what all the stuff about the election and the hate and everything else? They fear Jesus. One day he's going to be on that throne. Amen. Okay, we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. We're still in that on Wednesday nights, and you say, well, isn't that kind of dull? No. If you live by it, it's the key to success. If you don't live by it, it's the key to failure. And folks are found all up and down that scale from bottom to top. I'm coughing some, looks like. Were you in here the other day when I said, you know, when people die today, they have various means of really being sure they're dead. In the old days, that was a problem. Pretty well got it figured out now. But they put me in that casket and you say, we're not sure. Watch it for an hour. If I don't cough within an hour, you know I'm dead. Okay. That's about what it boils down to. So I may cough at you some. It just started here a while ago. Proverbs chapter 10. We might have started a few verses, but we didn't get through the chapter, I don't believe. So Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs, of course, is a book of comparison. The right way to the wrong way. Decisions made this way or that way and the consequences that follow those decisions, pretty apparent. And anybody that reads it and lived any length of time and observed life at all, you can't help but say amen to the truths that it just drops out there. The facts that life proves out. And Proverbs presents the final truths as to how things turn out. It's a book where things are compared. Comparisons almost in every verse. You'll find the word but, B-U-T, often in the verses. Because it's a conjunction that says, here's a fact, and here's an opposite fact. This may be a good one or a bad one, and when it says but, it changes across the street and emphasizes the reality of it. For instance, it compares sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law, the Bible says, but it's also part of the depraved human nature of man that we inherited from the fall in the garden with Adam. So everybody, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then it tells us how Jesus was the answer for our sin and not only forgiveness for it, but how we can have power living in us to overcome it. Everybody knows the truth. There is to a degree in the flesh. In the flesh, there is pleasure in sin. But the big truth about it is what Moses described when he was down in Egypt and he made a choice to leave Egypt and all the education and power structure of Pharaoh, and he could have been at the right hand of Pharaoh himself. He could have been the Pharaoh probably. But it said he chose rather to suffer the afflictions with God's people than the pleasures of sin. Here's the key for a season. See, the truth there is it's seasonal. If it's seasonal, something's passing away and something else is coming. And a life in the flesh of sin is going to pass away. It may be enjoyable to the flesh for a little bit, But the truth is, even then, I saw in the paper today where they caught the young man that run the motorcycle over the 8-year-old and killed him and left the scene. And he turned himself in, according to the paper today. He said, and here was a statement, the little headline with it. He said, "I could not live with myself." You see, inside of us, there is deep within, in the heart of man, a sense of right and wrong. We have to train ourselves to deny that sense. It's in there. God says he's written his law in the heart of man with a pen of iron with a diamond point on it. That's what he told Jeremiah. And so we can get a glimpse today now. Say, well, why is the world so corrupt? Why is the sin in high places all the time? And we read about it. And by the way, the garbage you hear in the news and read in the newspaper and see on TV, you say, can people really live like that? No, they die like that. They're living a dying life in that kind of awful stuff. But they do. And it seems like it's worse, and I think it is. I think that's Bible. Bible says evil men shall, not maybe or if, perhaps, but shall wax worse and worse. And we're seeing that. I have a lot of stuff come to me. People give me stuff, and stuff comes through the mail. And I purposely try to keep up with some things. The election thing, you've heard me say it, that it was crooked, no doubt about it, but it was a well-greased plan. You've never had a campaign where one of the candidates stayed hid the whole time. Amen. And dodged even speaking publicly. That's what we had with Mr. Biden, and yet he won. That alone is awful fishy. It is fishy when the losing candidate got 9 million more votes than he did when he won the year before. And yet more people voted this time by far than they did the last time. See, none of that adds up. Evil in high places. Crookedness. Bags of votes being drug out at 4 a.m. in the morning with only one name on them. See, when you vote a ballot, you got the top name, which president. But all below it, you got senators and you got others that are running. But when you got ballots with only one at the top, one word written on it, you wonder who wrote the word. Bags of stuff like that went on. I'm not going to read all this, but it's quite interesting. If you saw in the news, Texas is suing those other states that pulled all this shenanigans. I wish they could get it to the Supreme Court. But here's what's corrupt. Even the courts don't want to look at the evidence. They're purposely dodging looking at the evidence. That's a terrible thing. Shows you something's fishy. Somebody said if the judge sitting behind the bench lets the criminal go who's broke the law, then the judge himself is a lawbreaker. So what we have today is a conspiracy, which they're all lawbreakers when they pull that kind of trick. One defending and hiding the evil of the other. You've heard about the computers they used. Texas outlawed the computers, would not let them be used. They were used down in Venezuela for the crooked banana public type crookedness that goes on. So some of the Trump team has been pointing out these Dominion, that's the name of them, computers were fixed. I'm going to read you about one they tested, and I'm going to just read a very little bit to give you the message. They tested this one computer. Now, remember, they used it in many counties, many states, especially the states that made the difference in the election. So here's what they did to test the computer. They took an equal amount, I'm going to tell you easier than I can read most of this. They took an equal amount of ballots. Let's say they took 100. This 100 was for Trump. They took another 100 that was for Biden, fed it into the counting computer. Consistently, it changed enough that 100,000, how many they put in it, it came out, and I'm reading it right here. Every single time, the equal number of Trump and Biden votes produced a 26% victory for Joe Biden. They changed them. The computer changed. It was programmed to do that. Now, you run that across all of them in all the states, and you're talking about millions. Millions of ballots that the computer fixed. No matter if they were fake ballots or not, when they were put in there, they still were faked again, going through the computer. And they even ran it online across the ocean to some other nations and let them count them and then send us back the count. Who in the world would trust that? It says Dominion systems were used in 28 states during the election. And one of the big counties in Georgia was all messed up. One that Atlanta pretty well's the big city in. Anyway, one of the reasons that Texas is filing a lawsuit against these other states that did that is this very reason. Common sense. Common sense. Now, you say, how you think it's going to turn out? I've said this from the beginning. It's hard to get crooks to try crooks. And so I don't know. I know, and I've prayed this way ever since the election. God, you could overturn it if you want to, but thy will be done. If the Lord called me tonight and said, what do you think, Mickey? I'd say, well, turn it over and expose this evil. Well, I don't think I'm going to get that call. And the truth is, God might say, see, you don't understand. I got a bigger purpose behind this thing. And I believe he has. So I'm going to watch what God does. That does not mean we should not stand against evil, identify evil, resist evil. All that we are to do as a Christian. But we do know how it's going to turn out. God's will is going to be done in the long run. And evil is going to be exposed in the long run. So as we get into Proverbs, we run a comparison here of how it's going to be. You make the wrong choice, have the wrong consequence, but sooner or later, good is going to win over evil. God is going to win over the devil. That'll be the day, won't it? Proverbs 10, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son. Here's the proverb. A wise son maketh a glad father. I wouldn't argue with that, would you? But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Notice kind of how it shifts between the mom and the dad. You know who feels for a son more than the father? A good mother. A good mother. Kids are scarred for life when they discover mother didn't love them. Psychiatrists make killings off of that very sad truth. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with a human being, a mother that does not love the kids. That's why the abortion crowd today is so wrong. Many years ago, the Volkswagen Bug, it was built in Germany by Hitler, but it was named the Volkswagen because it was the people's car. And it took America by storm. Not only did the hippies get it, but it was a good gas mileage and tough thing. And I owned one for a while. It was an unusual car. Now, you couldn't go fast as I wanted to go, but it just kept going. And even in those days, I'd sometime go deer hunting, and I'd use it for a tractor plowing through the woods. That thing would just go. It was an amazing, amazing thing. Then after the Bug came out, in the hippie days, especially in the 60s, and came out with a Volkswagen van. Anybody remember what they looked like? right here on 27, they had a sign advertising the Volkswagen van, picture of the Volkswagen van. Now the hippies, the flower children, got it, and they painted flowers on it, and, you know, all that stuff. But I love that signboard on the highway. They had a big picture of that Volkswagen van, ugly as it could be. The caption on the bottom said this: only a mother could love it. They nailed it. Only a mother could love it. And yet, it's an atrocity. It's unusual if a mother don't. And you know, you see this in the news where they're trying to, kids that have born with handicaps, and they want to, the doctors just insist that mothers abort them. But some of them went ahead and lived and turned out pretty good. Amen. Mother wouldn't do it. Amen. So we see the comparison here. The wise son makes a father glad. Yeah, foolish son makes a mother heavy, sad. Then it says in verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Now, brother, the world hadn't learned that. Talking about the election and government. The world thinks that if you get it, you're a winner, no matter how you got it. If you can get wealthy by being crooked, then you're just smart and everybody pins a badge on you. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says treasure of wickedness, in other words, it's gained by doing wrong, profited nothing. Have you ever heard the statement, easy come, easy go? Have you seen some of these people gamble and get lucky, as the world calls it, and win the lottery? Win $1 million. Check on them 6 months later. What happened to it? Some of them got murdered over it. Right here in our county, I know a case where that happened. So what I'm saying to you, the Bible is right. You might get it crooked, but you won't profit by it. The man that earns it and works for it, brother, I'm not against rich people. I am against some of the ways they get rich. I'm against Hunter Biden and that crowd that got rich off of from China and all that you hear about in the news. By the way, they were fussing about him a little bit tonight. IRS is jealous. They want to get some of the money, I think. All joking aside, if they'd really honestly investigated, it'd be quite a story, wouldn't it? But people seem like in high places get by, but they don't get by forever. They get by some now. They get by with authorities now. They get by with the law now, but they never get by with God in the long run. It'll not pay off. Treasure of wickedness profiteth nothing. Opposite truth now. See the word but? Opposite truth. But righteousness delivereth from death. It's still better to do right and live poor than it is to do wrong and be rich. And it says, delivereth from death. Now, death, you and I know physical death, but we know the Bible oftentimes includes in that word death, future death, second death, the book of Revelation calls it. And I tell you what, I say it again, I'd rather die poor but honest before God than rich in this world's goods. You got the story in the Bible. You got the rich man in Luke chapter 16. You got the rich man in Luke chapter 12. And Jesus brings up the thought. You know, the rich man said, my crops have brought forth bountifully. Fine, that was the blessing of God on him. Done nothing wrong there. He said, I don't know what I'll do with all my goods. And then he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build bigger barns. And here's where he made his mistake. Then I'll say to my soul, eat and drink and take thine ease. And God says to him in the night, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. You see the comparison? Then the Lord says, and telling the story, he says, and then who shall these things be? You're going to leave them all. You're going to leave them all. I've told you about the doctor in Winter Haven that's told me this years ago. I'm thinking his name was Dr. Steele, but I can't remember for sure. He said, a rich person died. And somebody called him, asked him, said, just how much did he leave? He said, all of it. Yeah, he left it all. They always leave it all. Amen? I think about the guy that went to the rich Texan, all rich Texan that was having a funeral. And he left instructions behind to be buried in his gold Cadillac. So they had a crane out there, and they put him in the Cadillac and crane slowly in front of the crowd, lowered him into the grave. Somebody heard a man in the crowd said, boy, that's really living. Stupid. That's dying no matter whether you're in a Cadillac or a pine box. Amen. Amen. Not taking it with you. But the world seems to not believe that, even though the examples before them all the time. So it says in verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Now, do we believe that? Does God really take care of us? Does he really supply our needs? Somebody said, well, I was sick and I prayed for God to heal me. And he didn't. Said that to a preacher. Preacher said, how you know you didn't? He didn't hear you. Well, he didn't. He said, well, you're still alive. You get the point? Maybe he done something you didn't give him credit for. Amen? And the Lord says he'll not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. That's a promise to hold on to. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. I come back to that easy come, easy go. Wasted away. Man, we've seen all that happen, haven't we? I graduated high school 100 years ago and went about two nights without sleep celebrating with all the rest of my crowd that hadn't learned any more than I had. And finally got in bed about 1 a.m., that house behind the hotel there. And you can imagine how dead I was. Well, Monday morning came. I got to bed about 1 a.m. Monday morning. 4 a.m., my boss man was knocking on the door. And I had to have a resurrection to get out of that bed. I heard his voice at the door. He had a heavy voice. Miss Carter, get Mickey up. He's got to have some clothes to go with him. Lord, I thought that's a terrible nightmare. That can't be happening. But it was. And I had to get up, get a bag of clothes, run out and get in his car and go clean to the East Coast and stay over there for 6 weeks. So I feel sorry for him. It was rough. I got a quick introduction to what the real world was like. A lot of young people think they've made a discovery, got away from mama and got away from the preacher and the church, and now I've discovered the real world. The devil's had that real world, you call it, waiting on you for a long time. Just trapping you with it as soon as you can get there. Hopefully you'll live through it and come to better sense, but a lot of them don't. We see it in our church. We see it in our Christian school. We see it everywhere. That trap is right there, right there. And it's amazing. My boss man told me that morning. Now look, he was a big boss, and the job was hard to get. And I wanted to please him, but I want to tell you, I wanted to sleep. I was in the front seat of that new Ford, breezing over to the East Coast, and him talking, and me trying my best to not fall out of that seat asleep. And I don't know all he said, but I remember one thing he said, and I just read it right here in the Bible. Yeah, it's right here. It says, the substance, he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Here's what my boss told me that morning. I figured he was just excusing how little bit he paid me. And that was probably part of it. He didn't pay much. But here's what he said. I'm sitting over here falling out of that chair, seat of that car, almost dying to go to sleep. And he said, Mickey, you won't earn much, but it don't matter what you earn. I thought, yeah, you ain't gonna pay me much. His next statement was this, it don't matter how much you earn, is how much you learn to keep. Was he telling me the truth? He sure was. I've seen folks that made just a little bit and had their needs met. They lived right. I've seen some others that had a lot and don't know where it went and in need. The truth is declared right here. That's one of the curses of our day and time, is everybody wanting to get rich quick. That's where evil comes, sin comes, getting in trouble with the law comes. I mentioned Mr. Hunter Biden a while ago. They're going to invest his IRS where he's paid enough taxes. He may get off with all the connections he's had for a while, but I want to tell you, sooner or later, it's going to catch up. Amen. It's going to catch up. Now, moving on here just a little bit. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. That's laziness. God don't bless laziness. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. That's something you can observe any day, any time, watching people. I still believe that honesty pays off. I still believe it does, even in this sin-cursed world. It'll pay off in peace of mind. It'll also pay off in reputation. And it'll pay off with God's blessings or curse upon you in the long run. And it says, a slack hand. Now, that means just hitting and missing, just getting by. I'll apply this to some of you in school, high school, college. You might fake it up a little bit, but sooner or later, it catches up. Slack hand, lazy. But the opposite, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You can count on that being true. It's true. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. This comes back to what you've heard all your life about the grasshopper and the ant and all that. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, all this is focused in on what we'd call the farming lifestyle, but that goes through life. Planting, harvesting what you plant, doing it right, that's life. I've said this before. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. You've heard that statement, you know, I'm waiting for my rich uncle to die, waiting for my ship to come in. Another guy said, did you send a ship out? Well, no. Well, there's not one coming in. That's talking about sowing and reaping. That's talking about what have you invested? What have you done right? How you ordered in your life? And so it compares the lazy here and the diligent. Blessings upon the head of the just. Opposite again when you see the word but. Opposite of that, blessings upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. We're seeing that. See it on the TV. See the crowd. Somebody said the mob that was burning down the cities and breaking the windows and destroying the police cars and beating people up. All of you saw that on TV. Did you notice how easy they turned it off for just 2 weeks before the election? See, there was a plan behind that mess. They were paying them. Many of them were being paid. And, what a crooked bunch of stuff going on. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You don't win that way in the long run. You might for a little while, but not in the long run. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Just down to earth where the tire meets the road truth. The memory of the just is blessed. Did you ever ask yourself a question, you older folks? How will I be remembered? Well, the truth is we won't be remembered very long, but when they do think about us, we hope they're going to think about the best side of us, don't we? And the truth of the matter is that not only what people think about us, but how you feel about yourself is important. I've said to one or two guys back in some bad situations, I've said, I don't know how you look yourself in the face to shave in the morning. You know what I'm saying to them? Your conscience ought to be eating you alive, and that sin that you're committing, that wrong that you're doing. And I believe that does happen. I mean, one of the reasons the dope sells so good is folks are trying to soothe a guilty conscience. Trying to hide from their own selves. The old drunk, proverbial drunk that we think about, going to bed drunk, but he wakes up feeling worse, don't he? And that's true with anything. It blocks it out, hides it, but it's not true. The truth is still hurt deep within the soul and the heart and memory and mind of a man. It says the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Now, we could all put faces on some of these verses. There's people that will hear commandments, and those that won't. Some people you can help, some you can't. Bible even warns us as Christians when it comes to our witness. It tells us we can cast our pearls before the swine, and they'll turn right back on us and charge us, as it were. But I think sometime we have to be a little bit wise. I've seen some folks that I finally had to say, God, I've gone as far with them as I can. Now I'm turning them over to you. And I've seen God take some of those cases and in some cases pull them out of the hole they've dug. In some cases, he just covered up the hole. And that was it. Took the life, so to speak. And I know I could give you some names with some of that. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. In other words, if you're walking straight and you're not going to trip, know where you're going. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Folks will know whether we walk straight or not. People may lie on you, but if you live right, truth will come out on it. You can count on it if you walk right, walk straight. That's what he's talking about here. Proverbs, right where we live. Daily struggle of life is what they help us with. And he says, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Now, boys, he's not talking about winking at the girls. You might get by with that even legitimately sometime. But winking with the eye means I'm being a hypocrite. I said it, but I don't mean it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, he said it, but he winked. He didn't mean it. Okay, in good fun, that might be all right. But God is talking about the one that fakes it. Lies. It's a hypocrite. You don't want that. And a prating fool shall fall. When I think of that, if you remember when Saddam Hussein was bragging over in Iraq, riding his white horse, firing his gun in the air, trying to make everybody believe he had weapons of mass destruction just waiting. He never had them. Well, he might have had some he hid around, but he never had the power, but he wanted the pride of saying he had them. And if there's ever a picture of a man fulfilling a Bible verse where the Bible verse said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, Saddam Hussein did that. He kept on till he made America and others believe that he was a dangerous thing and had to be wiped out. And he got wiped out, and they find out most of what he did, even one of his top generals, came to America and said he had us generals believing he had those weapons. But he didn't. If he say, so how you know he didn't? If he'd had them, he'd used them. He didn't have them. And the sad truth is he kept on in his pride until God brought him down. You got the book of Daniel where you got Nebuchadnezzar there being brought down in his pride. And by the way, Saddam Hussein tried to be the Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he tried to rebuild the little Babylon over there. And he had gold bricks printed with his name on them, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. And he was the epitome of it. And boy, if the world's ever had a good example of God bringing a fellow in his pride down to earth, he brought him down. I'm going to stop because the clock is up. But why recommend reading Proverbs? So, well, I read it. All right, read it. You might find out God will call one to your memory at the time you need it. at the time of a temptation, at a time of a decision, you may say, where'd that come from? Because you read the Bible, you say, well, I can't memorize the Bible. Read it, and God's Holy Spirit will store it in there, and he'll pull it out at the opportune time that you need it the most. And I've had that happen, and I could tell you stories of others that have told me that. Hide the word in thy heart that I might not sin against God. That's what the Bible says. Hide the word in our heart. Holy Spirit knows and can turn to it. I hope you've been saved long enough, read your Bible enough, that if I walked up to you and said, give me a verse on this, and you could say, well, let me find it over here, you could find it. That's what the Holy Spirit does if you store it in your heart. At the time you need it, he'll flip to it. And even if you don't know right where the reference is, you'd have to look for it, you'll get the message. That's the way the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. All right, we're getting ready for Sunday. Brother Bert, how about choir practice?
Yes, sir.
Y'all pray for Brother Bert. He's having to fight a little bit of a throat thing here. We got a lot of stuff coming up now. Christmas time, cantata and everything. All right, let's stand. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father, that it instructs us and guides us, that we can store it in our heart, that the Holy Spirit can use it and give us the roadmap through life that we need. We ask your blessing on us now. Pray for the prayer list and the needs, and pray for this Sunday. Pray that souls might be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.